Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Would you pray with me once more? God, we thank you for your grace. It meets us right where we are. But God, we also thank you for your grace that leads us into new heights and new depths in your love, places that we could never imagine to go, places that we couldn't go without you, without your grace, without your Spirit. God, I pray right now that you would make us brave. Pray that you would make me brave to share your word. I pray you would make us brave to receive it and to respond to it in our lives and in our church and in our community. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll never forget the day that I was sitting in church. I was about 10 years old, and I was sitting in the church that I grew up in, and it was the first time I had seen someone baptized. There was a young man, he was a little bit older than me, and he was standing just like this, right at the very front and center of the congregation. And he was surrounded by his family, and his dad actually happened to be a pastor. And so his dad was asking him these questions. Questions that if you've been in church, you've probably heard before. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And I remember this little boy answering those questions with tears streaming down his face. And I remember my eyes were like saucers. And I turned to my mom and I said, "Mom, why is he crying? Are his parents making him do that?" And she said, "No, honey. Those are tears of joy. This is a special day for him and for his family." And I remember in that moment, and from that point on, I wanted to know more. I didn't fully understand it, but I knew whatever it was, I wanted it for my life and for my family. And so my family went to talk to our pastor, who's here today, Reverend Gerald Knopfsinger. And later on, I went through confirmation, but on September the 13th, 1987, I was the little boy that stood up in the church, and I was baptized. And here's a little picture of 1987 me. It's kind of fun. That day was a gift that that I'm always filled with gratitude for every time I remember it. And there was another gift. 30 years later, Reverend Gerald Nofsinger baptized our son, William, in the sanctuary here at First United Methodist Church. And there were some tears streaming down some eyes that morning as well. It's a gift that we will always remember. Today's week three of a series that we began at the first of the year called The Gift. The idea behind it is here at the very beginning of the year that what we really need is not necessarily another New Year's resolution. What we need is a New Year's revelation. I talked about kind of my definition of revelation is basically this: God sharing the gift of God's presence and provision and purpose with God's people. And I share that with you this morning because I think baptism is such a beautiful picture of just that. And this Sunday is called Baptism of the Lord Sunday. It's the day where we read and we remember the story of Jesus' baptism that serves as a sign and a symbol and an example to us of what baptism is. And it's found in God's Word to us through the Gospels. So as we hear the words of Jesus' baptism, may we be reminded of what baptism means to us. Hear this, God's word to us today from the Gospel of Luke. It says, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John the Baptist might possibly be the Messiah. But John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, you are my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Last couple of weeks we've been talking about the power of a word, of one word. To change your life. One word from God's word that has the power not only to transform our lives, but the lives of those around us. And here we see this beautiful picture of the gift of God in baptism. We see God's presence, Father, Son, and Spirit in this powerful way, in this revelation of identity and purpose. You are my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased. The story of Jesus' baptism serves as a beautiful picture of God's revelation, God's presence and provision and purpose for all of those who are waiting and wondering in their hearts what God might have to say to you. I'm reminded of the words that are spoken every time someone's baptized in our church. It's the words that will be spoken on Confirmation Sunday as our confirmands come and profess their faith. And it begins like this: brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. So you see, baptism is essentially God's gift to us. That's why the title of my sermon this morning is The Gift Through Water and the Spirit, because the waters of baptism are this symbol and sign of the gift of God's grace, the work of grace in and through our lives to bring about new life. Life that's created, redeemed, and sustained by God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's an act of grace. It's a means of grace where we experience God's prevenient grace, God's justifying grace, and God's sanctifying grace. Baptism reveals three very important things to us that I want to lift up this morning, and they're simply this. Baptism reveals who God is and what God does. Number two, baptism reveals who we are and what we are called to do. And number three, baptism reveals who the church is and who the church is called to be. I hope that these three things that I want to unpack this morning, I hope that they'll be a reminder to you and to me of not just who we are, but whose we are and who we are called to be together in community as the church, as our church puts it, as disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him and love Him and serve Him. It's this picture of the gift from God and the gift that we have of one another. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. We're also initiated into Christ's holy church. And those two things come together in this beautiful way through the sacrament of baptism. So let me just share a few things with you about our understanding of baptism in our tradition and how it reveals to us something of who God is. Number one, baptism reveals who God is and what God does. We believe that God is the divine initiator of grace, that grace comes from God and God is the giver of all grace. It's not something that we can earn or that we deserve, but it is a gift to us. We also believe that God is the primary actor in grace, that it's God who shows us grace for us to respond to. We also believe that God is the ongoing source of grace, that all grace flows from God. It's one of the reasons why the practice of baptism is the way that it is in our church. We affirm infant baptism because we believe that God is the primary actor in baptism, that we don't have to wait until we have it all figured out to respond to God's grace, for God to offer us grace. It's also why we don't necessarily have a certain amount of water that needs to be used. We believe in sprinkling and pouring and immersion because essentially we believe that the gift of baptism is not necessarily about the amount of water or even the person who is coming. It's ultimately about God and that person being incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation through Jesus Christ. But every gift that is given has to be received, right? And so the way that I like to talk about it when I get to teach confirmation is kind of like a high five or a hug that God initiates, and then when we respond, it comes together in this beautiful way that God initiates with grace and we respond through faith. So we are, if God is the divine initiator, then we are the human responders to grace. That's who we are and what we're called to do. We receive that through faith. If God is the primary actor, then we are the supporting actors, that we receive this gift of grace and we're called to share it with one another. We are, which is the third thing, we are the ongoing conduits of grace, that grace flows through us with God as the source. If you notice in the New Testament, Jesus uses many metaphors and analogies to describe this kind of relationship. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Right? He says, I am the light of the world. And then he says, you are the light of the world. But the light is not our own. The way I like to understand it is it's kind of like the difference between the light that comes from the sun and the light that comes from the moon. The light that comes from the sun, is its own source of light and energy. But the light from the moon is simply a reflection of the light that comes from the sun. And so in the same way, we are called to reflect the light of Christ to others. And not just with ourselves, but in community. One of the things that I learned in seminary that I love to share with folks is it talks about how in the New Testament there are so many examples of this. You know, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, right? The you that's in the New Testament, many times the word in Greek is often plural. And so really my professor said, if you're from the South, that means y'all, right? So can you relate to that? Love one another as I have loved y'all. And if you really want to look at it the right way, you guys know this too, right? It's all y'all, right? All y'all. So that's kind of who we are called to be. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved y'all. And they will know that y'all are Christians by your what? your love, right? This is the last part. If God is the divine initiator and we are the human responders, baptism reveals to us who the church is and what the church is called to do. The church is a living reminder of grace. We get to practice grace as we live together in community, and it reminds us and it reminds others of the grace of God. It's why we come together and worship on Sunday morning, to be reminded of God's grace in our lives and in our midst. If God is the primary actor in grace and we are the supporting actors, then the church is the primary stage for grace to be lived out. And when we do it right, it's a witness to the world around us. The church is this ongoing community of grace that grace flows from. I've got a friend that's a pastor in Nashville, and he has the same benediction that he does with his church every week. He simply says, "Okay, you have to go." No, really, you have to go. Because if you don't go, if what we do out there, if what we do in here doesn't matter out there, then what we do in here doesn't really matter. So you have to go. I love that. That's such a beautiful picture, I think, of who we are as the church. We're this community of faith. And when we live that grace out, that grace permeates not only our relationships, but it permeates the relationships that we have here, but also the relationships that we have when we're not here, when we leave here. So I hope that this has given you just a little bit of an understanding of kind of my understanding of who we are and whose we are and who we are called to be as God's people in the world, with God's grace in and through our lives. I know I've been talking a lot about grace, and you're probably thinking, I thought this was a sermon about baptism. Is this a sermon about baptism, or is it about grace? And my answer is yes, because that's what baptism is. It's all about God's grace. And so what I really want you to hear this morning, I say all of that to say this. The story of Jesus' baptism, our understanding of baptism, it really boils down to this, that you are a beloved child of a loving and gracious God. And you are called to be part of this community of people created, redeemed, and sustained by the grace of God. And baptism is this powerful sign, symbol, reminder of that revelation. Senior pastor that I served very early on in my ministry was a man by the name of Dr. Howard Olds. And he had this big booming voice. And every time he baptized a child, he would say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today you are marked as a child of God." I love that. I love the image of that. And then he would take that child and in his arms, and he would walk them up and down the aisles of the sanctuary, as if to say, and these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is your family. I'll never forget the day that he baptized twins, and I guess he couldn't carry both of them, so once he got done, he sort of handed one of them to me. And again, this was early on in my ministry, and this was probably one of the first times I'd ever held a child. So I kind of held him like the Lion King, like this. And everybody kind of laughed like you did, and my face got red, and he didn't make it any better. He said, "Ladies, he's single." So that was a baptism that I'll always remember as well. But as a young, single pastor... that was such a powerful image for me to follow this man of God as he walked up and down the aisles of that church. It reminded me of something so important of our understanding of baptism, that it is a communal event, that it is a family affair, not just a biological family, but a spiritual family, the family of God. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are initiated into Christ's holy church. That's why baptism most often happens within the context of a worship service. It's why we're having a combined confirmation service on Confirmation Day. so that we can all be together as those confirmands stand up and make that profession of faith, that we can, as a congregation, surround them with our love and our prayers and our support. But another reason for that is this. Baptism is not only a revelation and reminder to those who are being baptized of who they are and whose they are and who they're called to be and what they're called to do. It's a reminder to the congregation, all y'all, of who you are and who God is calling you to be, who God is calling us to be. Our communion liturgy that we say every time someone is baptized or we remember our baptism, it has a portion where the congregation responds. I bet you've heard these words before. I love this part of the liturgy. It says, "Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?" And everyone in the room says, "We will." So this morning, I want to invite you, just as I kind of close up this time, I want to invite you to read with me out loud the response of the church as we remember what a powerful gift baptism is. This is an example of who we are and whose we are and who God is calling us to be for one another and for the world. So will you read this with me? "With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life." This morning as we sing our closing song, you're going to be invited to participate in a remembering baptism, Jesus's and our own. You'll be invited forward. There'll be three stations here in the front, and John and Michelle and I will be here with a bowl of water. And you're going to be invited to come if you would like. And this is not a rebaptism or a baptism. This is simply a remembering your baptism. And so you'll come, and if you wish, you can receive the sign of the cross on your forehead, or if you like, on your hand, with a little bit of water, as a reminder of what baptism means, of who you are and whose you are and who we are called to be. You also can pick up a piece of glass. They're little beads that look like this, just for you to take with you and keep as a reminder of who you are and whose you are and who God is calling you to be. There are some folks that shared with me over the past few weeks. Someone came up to me and they had their little bead in their pocket from last year. They said they carried it around with them as a reminder. This could be a great reminder for you, so I invite you to take one of those if you'd like to. You can come to the altar and pray. If you'd like someone to pray with you, we'd love to do that. If you've never been baptized before, we would love to talk to you about that as well. But you're going to hear these words: remember your baptism and be thankful. And so whether you've been baptized or not, here's the truth that I want to leave with you this morning. May Jesus' baptism, his life, his death, his resurrection be a reminder to you today that you are a beloved child. That's who you are. That you are a beloved child of a loving and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's who God is. And that you are invited to be a part of this called community of imperfect people, created, redeemed, and sustained by the grace of God. That's who we are as the church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.